Hello, my name is Doug Belshaw. I'm Web Literacy Lead for Mozilla, and I'm here with Stephen Downes. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
So, a lot of people will know who you are and your work. Very kind of have a large presence online, and lots of people will subscribe to your newsletter. But for those who don't or might not know all the different facets of what it is that you do, could you just explain where you're based, a bit of context about what it is that you do?
Sure. I'm a researcher at the National Research Council of Canada, currently program lead for something called Learning and Performance Support Systems. As the name suggests, I have a background in educational technology, new media design, that sort of thing. I'm based in Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada. I come to the web from different backgrounds, certainly from a background in media. I've done work in media, like journalism in the past. I've been a university teacher as well, so I'll certainly know about the educational side of things. My formal education is in philosophy, and in particular, things like philosophy of knowledge, philosophy of mind. So when somebody says the word literacy to me, I immediately have lots of ideas and lots of thoughts about that. And of course, I've been on the internet and on computers for the last 20 years or so, 30 years, I don't know, 25 years. Let's make it 25. Actually, if I think about it precisely, it's 27. A long time, pre-web, pre-even Gopher, I think, not pre-FTP. I cut my teeth on Telnet. My first computer education was in 1980, and yes, that did involve punch cards. So I've lived and breathed this technology for a minimum of 34 years, and I love it.
Excellent. Well, that's good to hear. It's good to see you. So you're still in the game, etc.
Oh, okay. So much so.
Indeed. Okay, so you're not currently using the web literacy map. It's something which really I'm bringing you in here as an expert on the landscape rather than the particular thing.
That's right.
So perhaps we could just start off with, now that you've had I don't know how much of a glance you've had, maybe a cursory look, maybe a more in-depth look, but now that you've had some kind of look at the web literacy map, let's start off with just what it does well, what we need to make sure that we don't get rid of in any kind of update.
Well, it's it depicts the learning, or depicts literacy as not something that you simply learn. It depicts literacy not just as a set of facts that you would know, but there's an iterative process involved. I have, in my own work, described the process as aggregate, remix, repurpose, feed forward. And the model that we have here is similar, certainly, in many ways to that. It's only three steps instead of four: exploring, building, and connecting. I guess building sort of mixes remixing and repurposing.
Yeah.
My feed forward is a little more technical, perhaps, than connecting, but the same logic is there, and that's a really important logic because that's how you build networks. And without those three things, you don't get a network. So if you drop any of those three things, you've turned it from web literacy into something else. So I think that's essential, and that's probably the main thing I would underline from the whole literacy framework is that.
Excellent. So can we just dive in there into the? Mm-hmm. So you said that feed forward is something a bit more technical than what we've got in the web literacy map as it currently stands. Could you just draw out those differences then between what we've got in the connecting strand on the web literacy map and what you understand by feed forward?
Okay. Connecting, the way it's depicted here, is kind of like about the communicative process. And so you've got sharing and collaborating, community participation, which is one thing. But this interactive process generally consists of two parts, sending and receiving. Yeah, I know, I'm simplifying it a little bit too much, but these are two separate things that need to be considered. I generally think of the receiving part on where you've got exploring, I have aggregating, right? And anything coming in is covered there. And anything going out is, for me, under the connecting part. So when I say feed forward, I'm thinking of it in one sense like publishing, in another sense like composing your message and sending it along. It's the outward part of communication. And I think it's important to distinguish that rather than just talking about conversation generally. Mm-hmm. We need to think about what is it to compose and send a message? What is it to send a message as opposed to being involved in a collaboration? You see what I mean?
Yeah, I think what the difference here is that, in essence, composing for the web under the building strand is mm-hmm. quite tied to like HTML skills, that kind of thing. Whereas yeah. you're more interested in a holistic piece around the message and what it is that you're trying to convey to yeah. the recipient, yeah?
Yeah, because, I mean, the whole concept, yeah, literacy isn't about grammar, right? Literacy is about communication. And what you're trying to say is probably the most important part of communication. In fact, if you're not trying to say anything, it's noise.
Yeah. Okay, well, I don't expect to kind of redesign this on the fly while we're talking. We haven't got enough time for that.
Oh, I get that, yeah.
Let me just. No, that wasn't saying that. I want to pay attention to this because I think it's mm-hmm. an important point. Let's say that we took those four strands, and there were initially four strands. Interestingly, the fourth one was actually protecting, which we took out as being kind of too Mozilla specific when it was couched in the terms of a web literacy standard rather than a map. But let's say that we took those four different elements that you talk about: aggregate, remix, repurpose, and feed forward. That would mean reconceptualizing, I guess, technical skills like composing for the web and coding, scripting, design and accessibility as being more message focused and therefore moving into slightly different strands. Have I got that right?
Yeah, I think so. Like you've got remixing specifically, but in remixing here, you're thinking more about mashups and things like that, and that's certainly a valuable aspect of it. But when you know, I did some work on lolcats, for example. Lolcats are a classic example of remixing, mm-hmm. but you can do it right and you can do it wrong, even if you use the tools perfectly. What is it to remix a lolcat right? What is it to remix it wrong? That's an interesting question.
No, I remember that presentation. It greatly influenced me, that one. I remember watching that several times because I think you presented it to Alec Kuros' class. And I remember watching it over and over and over again, just trying to tease out the nuance there. So that was excellent. Okay, so we've started getting into some of the things that the web literacy map could do differently. I was just mm-hmm. wondering whether, when you look at this, I mean, let's just put aside, you know, the ways in which we could frame it. But is there mm-hmm. anything which you feel is actually missing? Like there's a competency or a skill or just an area of attention that we should be focusing on which just isn't there at all?
That's a hard question.
Indeed.
Well, it is because, and like my first thought was, I don't even think that way.
Well, that's interesting as well. Okay, so.
Yeah. I mean, you've selected, you know, 15 major areas and then broken them down a bit. And to me, it's like, well, you've picked 15 features of an elephant, right? I could probably come up with another 15. Are any of them more or less important? Not so much. So I don't think that way, but I think you're kind of moving into like, what's like, I don't want to look at what's missing in the sense of, is there a feature missing or something like that? I looked at it as, you know, what's missing, again, as an overall kind of thing. And I've commented to you that it approaches the subject more episodically rather than systemically. And I was thinking of a few things when I wrote that. Mm-hmm. For example, you're familiar with Bloom's taxonomy, of course.
Yep.
One way of expressing it would be to say it tends to focus on the lower elements of Bloom's taxonomy rather than the higher elements. There's a little bit of analysis and synthesis, but not so much, and virtually no evaluation. But even a little bit more deeply than that, I see it as it's almost like, you know, if the whole field was web literacy, if that whole field was a forest, you're kind of picking out trees, you're kind of picking out regions of the forest, and that's all important, but you're missing things like the types of trees that there might be in a forest, the overall nature of the ecosystem, you know, things that they're not so much generalizations, but they're abstractions that you can pull from it. And you know, so a couple of examples for, you know, looking at one part of it talks about how to decode URLs,
Yep. Which
is useful, and certainly it's a skill, but what does that mean from the perspective of, you know, internet and electronic communications generally? Why are those parts there? How does that fit together as a picture?
Oh, interesting. So there's a contextualization piece to be done to the whole map, to say.
That's
like,
right.
Yeah, so there's that. Also, it sounds like you've used slightly different terminology, and that was a great metaphor with the forest, but people have talked about, I don't know, like a lens or a cross-cutting theme which cuts across all this. And so an example of that might be identity. So when we were coming up with this map, it was very difficult to think about where conversations or a focus on things like identity on the web would fit in there. And so what we did was we kind of parked it and said it was a meta-level theme, and it didn't really get addressed. So one of the things I've been considering doing, and I'm really glad that you've mentioned it, if I'm not just putting words in your mouth, is using, for example, identity as a lens would allow us to pick out different skills and competencies and see how they fit together in a much more holistic piece. Do you think that would work?
Well, first, a quibble. I hate the terminology of lenses because it represents the activity as though there's some sort of reality that we're looking at that we're merely emphasizing through some sort of process. That's and I think that's just, it's wrong. minimally, to capture the same concept, you might say, look at it from this perspective or that perspective, you know, so from the perspective of identity rather than through the lens of identity. It's a real quibble, but the whole ontology
I get it. You're basically, it's the difference between arguing that there's an objective reality and one is kind of socially created.
Well, not even socially created, just it's No, don't even go that far.
So first we'll do Philosophy 101, and then we'll do the web literacy.
But more to the point, when you look at the, you know, and this is the other way of looking at the same point that I was making, because, I mean, going back to the lolcats thing, I analyze and describe elements of what I think of are as critical literacies. And I mean, again, I know you're familiar with them, but for those listening who are not, they are respectively syntax, semantics, pragmatics, which is to say the use, pragmaticism, which is to say the context, cognition, which is to say inference, and change. Okay. These are all things, are all ways of looking at anybody, not just the web, but any body of inquiry generally. So when I'm talking about this, I'm saying, okay, we're looking at the web, we're looking at transport protocols. What can we say about the syntax of transport protocols generally, right? What can we say about the meaning of that generally? You know, how are they used? These are all sorts of questions, and they're questions that apply not specifically to a URL, although they do apply to URL, but they apply to the internet more widely. And I know you call this web literacy, but you know, thinking a little more broadly, because the web even in itself is extending a bit beyond, the internet itself is extending beyond the web. We're talking on Skype. That's not technically part of the web, but you know, and why not? Or how do you know this? Well, what's that Skype protocol that, you know, you can actually declare a Skype protocol? Yeah,
that's interesting. Let's just dwell on that just very briefly. A very brief description would be, you know, the web is dependent upon the internet. There's protocols which, uh-huh, you know, aren't part of the web, which we use every day. And especially, uh-huh, in a world of apps, that's on the increase rather than the decrease.
Yeah.
Do you feel that this would be better as a internet literacy map? Or
I would, yeah. Okay. Or I could call it a web literacy map, but still understand that what you mean is internet literacy map. Okay. Just for most people, like 90% of people out there or more, the terms are interchangeable. Mm. But you know,
not for the people within Mozilla, though, I'd suggest.
Yeah, no, not for the people within. Certainly not. Yeah, but I'd be very surprised.
So when we were coming up with this map, we had many calls with community members, and we did talk about what the scope for this would be. We had to decide that some things were going to be in scope and out of scope. But obviously, yeah, since then, there's been the whole Snowden piece. Even, mm-hmm, in the last few days, there's been the iCloud celebrity leak, yeah, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And it kind of begs the question, I guess, whether there's stuff which should be in there, which isn't. So I'm thinking of stuff like connecting to a Wi-Fi hotspot securely.
Critical, isn't it? But not of the web.
Yeah. So what would you, I mean, is that something, I mean, you might not have a strong feeling either way, but is that something which, if you were drawing this up, you'd feel that it should be included or not?
Yeah. Okay. How do I want to talk about that? I mean, certainly, yes. Yeah, I'd have to think about that more, about how I'd want to include it, but I know I'd want to.
I mean, one way of doing it, and I have discussed this with a few people, is there's the web literacy map itself, and then there's the stuff which we acknowledge is very closely related to it. So there's ways in which we can contextualize it, because, hey, it's the web, you can do anything. Ways in which we could say, well, before you even get onto the web, you need to connect to it. here's ways, yeah, in which you can do it. Now, that's slightly recursive because you're showing people how to do that on the web that they haven't connected to yet. But there's things which we can link to, mm-hmm, acknowledging that, you know, these aren't necessarily part of the web literacy map.
Yeah, and for the record, I learned how to connect to Wi-Fi by computer. I used a landline to do it.
So, I can remember, yeah, playing computer games by direct connection from one phone line to my friend's house, and no one being able to use the phone. Those were fun days.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Okay, is there anything which we've talked about so far which you'd like to just dive into a little bit more, or shall we just plow on?
No, I think we're good so far.
Okay, so in your particular work, Stephen, let's say that we come up, we reconfigure the web literacy map, and it ends up being everything that you could ever want from a web literacy map, whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. How you might not be able to, but if you were going to use this in your particular work and it was everything you possibly could want it to be, how would you be able to use the Web Literacy Map in your line of work?
How would I use it?
Yeah. The answer might be, I wouldn't.
Yeah, no, it's not. But the answer isn't, I wouldn't, because I have my own, my own critical literacies map, and I use that as a way of framing a lot of the discussion that I have. Minimally, when I'm approaching an issue, one of the things, it's a domain of inquiry or subject, I go through it in my mind, say, okay, patterns, regularities, meaning, value, objective, all the different components of this to make sure that I'm getting a complete and rounded understanding of the subject. So it is a good frame for inquiry generally. But that's the difference between what I'm doing and what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're doing a literacy for a specific domain, and I'm thinking of the structure or nature of literacies generally. Would I use a specific web literacy in my work? Given that I'm already web literate, arguably so, probably not. If I had kids, literacy, once you have literacy, you don't need literacy maps so much anymore, unless you're a researcher of literacy. I might use literacy if we're doing usability studies, things like that, using it as a frame for evaluating the competence or the capacity of a person to use our software or technology. I can certainly imagine that. So, look at the map, I'll look at yours again briefly. Can they navigate? Can they handle the mechanics of it? Can they execute search, etc.?
Stephen, can I just pick up on a couple of things that you mentioned there? So, firstly, I'm interested in precision of language. So, we talked earlier about like equivocation between internet and web, and what we call it. We've chosen to use the following terminology. We've tended to call it a web literacy rather than literacies map. We've used the term strand to talk about those three columns. Competency is a collection of skills, and then the word skills. So I wonder if you had any thoughts about that, anything which you think is semantically problematic, confusing, anything like that? It's fine if not.
Yeah, I'd be hard-pressed to identify the distinction between a competency and a skill, except that I think a skill is maybe, if you think of a competency as made up simply and only of skills, that would be a very narrow meaning of competency. If competency is made up of skills plus something else, then I'm not seeing that here, and that would be concerning.
So what would you add into the mix? Things like habits of mind and practices, or?
What's a good way of putting it? Habits of mind isn't bad. Practices is just like skills. But that was a terrible statement. Please don't quote me on that. Because, of course, it's not true. Except from a very specific and narrow perspective, which is what I was taking at the time. But, for example, values, objectives. For example, in a competency, it's not simply being able to do something, but it's also determining or having the capacity to determine what is important to do and what is not. What counts as a problem and what does not? What counts as a solution and what does not? And these aren't skills, but they're not habits of mind either, are they? They're perspectives.
They're approaches to a problem, I guess.
Well, but I mean, it might not even be a it might not even be a problem. I mean, there's the whole language of world view. I mean, to be an engineer isn't just to know a bunch of stuff. It's literally to see the world in a certain way.
So some people have talked about mindsets in terms of, and some people have suggested that one of the competencies or areas to pay attention to could actually be, I don't want to use the word resilience in the way which is it's popularly being used at the moment, but like that, that kind of iterative nature, that realization that the first thing you do might not be the best thing you do, and the ability to kind of iterate on an idea and realize that nothing's permanent and all that kind of stuff on the web as opposed to offline. Is that something?
Nothing's permanent offline either. So.
Well, death is, but...
death isn't a thing. It's the end of the thing. So. And the end of the thing isn't a thing. Only things to
okay, be permanent. One of the things I wanted to get to, Stephen, actually, because you mentioned this in passing, which I thought was really interesting. I didn't think I'd hear you say it. So it might be that I misconstrued it. You mentioned that once you're a web literate individual... there's no more need for the map, and that that hasn't come through in the stuff that I've read and watched about you before. In the sense that I always thought that you were a believer in literacy being a set of practices that you have to keep updated, and like tool use. Like literacies are predicated to some extent upon tool use and like social interaction. And if those contexts change, then the literacy changes. Have I misconstrued any of that?
No, you haven't, but it does raise a really interesting point, and I'm going to use another analogy. Principles of ethics, or ethical principles, okay? Like, say, a code of conduct, right? And what good is a code of conduct? Well, if you're already a good person, you don't need a code of conduct. Because you don't need to be told what to do. And indeed, if you're a bad person, you don't need it either. Right? The only real reason you need a code of conduct is to get a person from not knowing what to do to knowing what to do. Right? Okay, well, that's fine. The code of conduct is still useful if being good consists only in exactly of adhering to the code of conduct. But we know that that's not true.
Okay.
Right? We know that being good is something, it's more complex than that. Let's suppose that, you know, the Ten Commandments constitutes a code of conduct. Well, if we took the Ten Commandments literally, then it allows for all kinds of loopholes, right? Thou shalt not kill. Okay, that's fine. But what about render incapacitated for the rest of their life? That seems to be good, right? But, you know, that kind of goes against the spirit of the whole enterprise, right? Being good isn't following the set of rules or principles. And that's where the set of rules, that's why I say you no longer need the set of rules or principles. That said, being good is an ongoing reflective thing, right? What counts as good isn't static. It's always changing. As new situations unfold, as new affordances become exposed to you through new technologies, etc., you're constantly evaluating and reevaluating your own conduct according to whether or not it's good. So at the very most, the rules might provide some sort of touchstone, but you don't really need that touchstone. You've already pretty much internalized that. Right. So you're going through this reflective process, but you're well beyond the value that the code of conduct can provide you.
Oh, interesting. So when it comes to the web and the web changes, we need to update what are the analog of the ethical principles in the form of the web literacy map. But that doesn't change the status of the web literate individual. Is that what you're saying?
Well, even more to the point, the web literacy map is like the Ten Commandments.
Excellent. Right? That's a quotable bit right there.
Right. It tells you how to be good with respect to the web. Right. But being good with respect to the web isn't all and only defined by the web literacies, nor could it ever be. Remember earlier in the conversation, I said, well, you picked 15 things, you sort of picked 15 other things. Yeah. Same applies with moral principles, right? You know, Moses picked 10, or if you're Mel Brooks, 15, right? Could have picked another 10, and they might have worked just as well. You might have had, you know, instead of thou shalt not kill, you might have had thou shalt not incapacitate others.
Yeah,
that would work just as well. So there's the spirit of web literacy, and that's the thing you got to be constantly honing and rehoning and rehoning. And if this is maybe, you know, what I was trying to get at, you know, this is pretty episodic, right? The more you need to be changing this as new technology comes out, probably the less good it is as a literacy map, right? I'm not talking about the specific tools that you've put in there that people can use. You know, like there's examples of, skills challenges or Wayback Machine or things like that. Those are good examples. You can keep using those examples. But if you're talking about search, if your discussion of search is framed, you know, in terms of how to search on Google, that's going to have to change every time Google changes.
So that's interesting. So there's a demarcation to be made here, and it is a bit of a it is a bit confusing when you go to webmaker.org/resources. The web literacy map itself, the reason I pointed you towards that is that webmaker.org/literacy, there's been a database issue in the last few days. But if you go there now, actually, it might be more conducive, just to draw out the difference between the two. Just because I think what you're talking about there has kind of already been addressed. Let me just explain. So at webmaker.org/literacy, what we've tried to do here, it's the same stuff that you see in terms of the competencies and the skills, but stripped away here are all the resources and the stuff which is built on top of it. So what we try to do two things. Mm-hmm. Firstly, we've tried to do exactly what you've said in terms of not name specific technologies. So we've tried to be generic enough to be long-lasting, like you said, but also specific enough so you can actually do something with it. And the second thing we've tried to do, you'll notice that they're all based on verbs. So we've tried to be action. We try to be focused on actions rather than conceivably someone be able to take a pencil and paper test with it. Just speaking that to that exact point, it is a bit confusing the way that it's presented at /resources.
Yeah, because I didn't see this before.
Oh, well, it wasn't there until about 2 hours ago, seriously.
Oh. It just shows how valid my criticisms are, doesn't it? That the thing that I felt was really needed was the thing that you were busy creating.
Well, we do work quickly. That's the thing.
That's nice to be. I'm sure it's nice to be in an organization that works quickly.
Well, it's different.
I'd have to examine these in more detail, but yeah, I mean, this is getting at some of the stuff that I have in mind. Like for coding scripting, for example, you have composing working loops and arrays. That's useful. I mean, that's generalizable. It's not specific to JavaScript, which is what, you know, web-specific would do, right? Because I don't think there's any other loops or array. Oh, no, I guess in CSS you can, too. But you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
Using a script framework. So that's very generalizable. So I like what you've done here. I'd have to look at it in more detail to come up with
I didn't point you towards that one, just because it was literally until about 2 hours ago, it wasn't rendering properly the page, so I had to follow the book.
Here we go. Search. This is what I was looking for. Yeah, using keyword search operators and keyboard shortcuts to make web searches more efficient. Okay. Yeah. You see, even here, like, I'm missing things like and or, just like search. Search is a lot more than just using a search engine. The concept of search, goods. If you think of search, another kind of search is a database lookup, right? And think about how they structure database lookups, and then think about the advice that we give people on the web how to search. They're two completely different things, and that's irrational, right? You're doing the same activity, So there's a strategy that people could be given, a general strategy as opposed to a tool-specific strategy that involves, for example, combining two terms to get, into a conjunction to get more precise results. That might be in there somewhere, but it doesn't come across,
No, I do agree that some of these skills leave some things to be desired. We're a bit under a bit of time pressure when we're coming up with this, so yeah, we do need to go back through that. I guess what we're trying to do, Stephen, is be extremely pragmatic in the sense that we want people to build activities on top of these, and so thinking about multiple contexts in which people might want to do that and align them with particular skills. But let's zoom back out.
We're still in the context of my ideal of literacies, right? So we haven't left that context yet. Open a context, you have to close it later.
Let's just zoom out of that. Kind of going into the nitty gritty of the skills, because that's useful. But let's just have a look at the.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I want to do what you want to do here.
Yeah. Okay. So on the Etherpad, you've put. You put like a separate section around kind of presentation. Could you just talk to it, to what you've put under that, under, I think it's line 62.
Yeah. Design matters to me so much. Okay, so this is back to the, I've lost you now.
Oh, / resources, yeah.
I was on the Mozilla stuff, the literacy stuff, but now I've lost the URL. Is this a new URL, an old URL, or hang on, I'll find it again. You gave it to me before.
So it's webmaker.org/resources, and I've just sent you the link to the Etherpad as well in the Skype chat.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Okay, yeah, resources. Right. Okay, good. So when I pop into one, I'll just pop into navigation.
Yep.
Okay. So this is presented, obviously. This page has been designed. As I scroll through it, we get what is a web browser, tips and tricks, right? And they're signified with these nice and useful bright red or orange dots. I'm not really sure what color that is. I'm sure it has a number. So discover is like that, make is like that, and then teach, my orange dots disappear. And I've got these gray boxes. And when I was first looking at this, remember I'm browsing fairly quickly because I'm under time pressure as always, it looks to me like, oh, they didn't put anything there for teach. Okay, I guess there's nothing for teacher, right? Because the design changed completely.
Interesting. Okay.
So, and that's what I mean. It's just the presentation gives me a message different from what you intended.
Right. Okay.
Right. Similarly with skills, right? So I go to navigation again at the top of the page. There's this little box of skills to the right. I think the core of what you mean by this literacy are these skills. I was about 8 pages in before I even noticed that box was there.
So with both of those things, it sounds like you, at the very least, you'd want to make them into a much more vibrant color.
Well, I'm not sure so much about the color, but the presentation is such that they vanish.
Yep. Okay.
So maybe that's just me, but I bet you if you did eye tracking and things like that, you'd find, you know.
We'll get the sharks with lasers out. Absolutely. Cool. No, that's really useful because I think, we're currently thinking about how to spruce up these pages, you know. Until recently, they didn't have videos in, for example. It was literally all text. Yeah. There weren't any images. So that's useful feedback in terms of that shift from the dots, which really stand out towards the teach bit, which don't.
Yeah. And it's funny, too. Like they say, the medium is the message. You're saying here, teach is different from the other stuff.
Right.
Let me go back a sec. I just thought of something. Explore, build, connect versus discover, make, and teach. Why the two vocabularies?
Well, because one is a kind of a taxonomy of competencies and skills, whereas the other one is a, I don't know, an approach to understanding that particular competency.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you use your own taxonomy in order to, you know what I mean?
Well, two different teams did the two different things.
Yeah. But both these sets of three things are intending to do the same thing. Anyway, I just thought of that, so I have no real fuss behind it, but it's hard.
So you would expect when you're looking at the whole web, let's you might explore, build, connect, to that to be the way that you structure each competency as well?
That would be more consistent, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Okay. It's odd that you say teach is odd. Who's your audience here?
Well, we've kind of, I guess, pivoted from focusing on the end user towards focusing on, like, doing it like a train the trainer or teach the teacher kind of approach. So what we're trying to do is level up people to teach the web rather than focus on the end user. And I think some of that shows, that change shows the other side.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny, you know, when you say teach, now you're not talking with people or interacting or communicating anymore. You're giving them a word dump or whatever. I know that's not what it means, but you know what I mean. Yeah. Anyhow, okay.
No, I get that. Okay.
All right.
And then, really interestingly, you put some stuff right at the end of the Etherpad around Grease Monkey, which I have very fond memories of, and also some very meta stuff around whether the web really is a global public resource. Would you speak to those briefly?
Okay, and I get now, I didn't get it when I wrote the comment, but I get now that when you're talking about your first web hack, you're actually referring to one of the Mozilla resources itself, which, you know, when I think web hack, the first thing that comes to my mind is Grease Monkey, and I was thinking, well, why would you pick such and such rather than such and such? What, you know, even the X-ray goggles, right? That's like, you know, I if I want to see, you know, I've got like Firebug, and I've got I can inspect elements in that, so I'm not sure what the X-ray goggles is buying me over and above that, except it's a little more visual. So anyhow, that's all.
Okay,
that's all that was. Although, Grease Monkey, whatever did happen to that? It's vanished.
I think you can still go to userstyles.org and you can, you can roll your own whatever.
Yeah, but it was never the big thing everyone thought it was going to be. Beautiful things about the web is a global public resource. Mostly it isn't. and that's kind of what concerned me there. Maybe once it was. At the very most right now, the concept of the web and perhaps some of the specifications are global public resources, but mostly the web is privately owned, and it's certainly very heavily regulated and controlled and throttled and encumbered in a variety of ways. We'd love it if it was a global public resource, but mostly it's been enclosed. And so that's why I say, is it all true?
Okay. So I think I'd kind of push back on that slightly, in the sense that it's still possible to do all of the things that probably you more than me did in the 1990s. But it's,
oh,
it's
so
certainly
much
harder
now.
To do it. Sorry?
You do so much more now.
Oh, indeed. Oh, but in terms of all of those things, like, I don't know, like having your own server being the norm and, I don't know, like hosting your own email or whatever it is,
Yeah, even those are easier now, believe it or not. But they've mostly been commoditized. It used to be you have to go to university and get access to bare metal to do it.
Oh, sorry, I don't mean in terms of harder, in terms of like conceptually or technically harder. I mean more in terms of harder to extract yourself from exactly the things you just mentioned, like the closed public servers. Yeah, like closed private servers. And then you've got... So you've a follow-on thing from there, you just stuck in the Etherpad, is, you know, is the answer to the question, who owns the web, even a part of web literacy? I'm not sure whether you're arguing for or against that.
Well, it doesn't seem to me to be part of web literacy. You know, it is, you know, who owns the book you're reading part of textual literacy? It just doesn't seem to me to be part of web literacy. But, you know, but I'm not firmly convinced of that point, which is why I phrased it as a question. But there seems to be an open issue there.
Okay. Well, I'll bear that in mind, certainly, because I guess one of the... There's several things which, you know, this is part of the... This is built upon the Mozilla mission, which we have a very specific mission in terms of keeping the web, you know, open and free, a platform for innovation, all that kind of stuff. And even if it is being enclosed, I don't want to use the word propaganda tool, but, you know, the web literacy map is a tool in the arsenal of educating users, etc.
Be careful with that, right? Yeah. If you legitimize the use of literacy as a propaganda tool, you legitimize it for others as well.
Well, isn't that what all of Paulo Freire's work was built upon?
All of whose work?
Paulo Freire, in terms of like emancipatory literacies and...
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Cool. Well, Stephen, it's been fantastic talking to you. Is there anything that isn't in the Etherpad that we, you know, something that you wanted to talk about coming into this conversation that we haven't had a chance to talk about yet?
No, I've covered it.
Excellent. Well, thank you again for spending some time with me. I always appreciate, either by email or talking face-to-face, your sharp mind. So thank you for that.
Oh, my pleasure. Talk to you again, I hope.